Help, I called. Help, oh my God, I've killed a man. Oh God, I've killed him. Help, help. I was muttering and screaming and crying too. I had killed a man. But the music on the boat must have drowned my calls. I got down on my hands and knees. Daniel Ransom, no answer. I called again and again. I stood, I had to get help. Then I felt the ramp sway and I saw Daniel pulling himself up out of the water a few feet from me. I got up and ran to him. Stay back, he yelled. But I got down on my knees and tried to help pull him onto the deck. Stay away from me, you little psycho. I'm sorry, I kept saying over and over as he sat on the planks, catching his breath. He looked up at me, wet hair plastered to his forehead, anger and confusion etched into his expression. You tried to kill me. No, no, I didn't. You grabbed me and I didn't know what you... I wasn't trying to hurt you or anything, he snapped. You had a big bug in your hair. Oh my gosh, I was so embarrassed. I said, oh, I didn't mean to shove you in the water. You were touching my hair and I thought, what? You thought I was going to kiss you or something? No, I snapped. I freaked out. I'm not used to people touching me and, well, don't worry. Next time I'll let the bug eat your whole head. It's still there, by the way. I started digging at my hair and a giant bug fell out. Sure enough, it was some sort of beetle, huge, with spots on it. I jumped up and started kicking at it. I knocked it into the lake. Well, at least I know it's not personal, he said. You're trying to drown the bug, too. Are you all right? I'm so sorry, Sheriff Ransom. Honestly, it was a reflex. Do you have any idea what the penalty for drowning a man is? And for heaven's sake, will you please call me Daniel? I put my hands over my face and turned away from him. I couldn't even look at him. My mind was screaming at me, idiot. I'm sorry, I heard him say, yet he wasn't moving closer to me. Who could blame him? Don't cry. I know you didn't mean it, but you've got to understand. I nearly drowned. So I was naturally a little upset with you. What do you want from me? I said. What do you mean? People aren't nice to folks like me for no reason. So what are you after? What? He asked. What? You think I'm after something? Well, are you? There was a long silence. I started to leave. Yes, he said. I'm after something. But it's not what you obviously think, and I was obviously mistaken to believe that you wanted it too. See you later, Mrs. McQuaid. I heard him walking away back toward the boat. By the time I got into my truck, I was trembling all over. I didn't care what Daniel Ransom wanted or what his motives were anymore. I never wanted to see him again, but I had to work tomorrow. And he would still be on the Caribbean Song. The next morning, Bob got up early and went on his monthly out-of-town excursion with his only true friend, Morgan, to a densely forested area about 50 miles south of us. I knew that other men were there, too. I had gathered that much from Bob. It was funny that Bob, who talked nonstop most of the time, said so little about his militia affiliations. But I was all right with that. He told me where he was going, and I never pushed the issue. I suppose I was guilty of relishing the fact that I got the house to myself once a month. I didn't care about hearing all that militia stuff anyway. It was bad enough that my house was papered in aluminum foil and that we talked about conspiracies during every conversation. I didn't need to hear about how many rounds a certain gun could get off or the best type of all-terrain vehicles and what brand of lead casing was best to protect his batteries from an electromagnetic pulse. I knew that they engaged in militia training exercises and that they talked weapons, survival techniques, and so forth. That was all I needed to know. Cookie had once asked me if I thought Bob was cheating on me when he went on his trips. I told her no because, well, he was Bob, and if he was doing anything, it was taking part in some sort of militia training exercises. I told her that Bob was too worried about undercover CIA agents to ever hook up with anyone. I was the only woman on the planet he even remotely trusted. I had knots in my stomach as I drove to work that morning. I dreaded seeing Daniel Ransom, dreaded the houseboat checkout and the walkthrough, the awkwardness that I was sure to feel upon seeing him. I had been there about 30 minutes and was on the covered deck behind the store putting houseboat bedding into the washing machine when Kimmy stuck her head through the door. "Got a checkout for you, Cupcake. Fella's waiting here in the store." Annie hadn't come in yet, but I knew that she would, probably about 9 or 10 o'clock, soon as she had slept her night off. I slammed the machine door, put the soap in, and started the cycle. I took a deep breath. I already knew which boat was checking out that morning. I entered through the back of the marina store, seeing Daniel Ransom before he could see me. He was standing by the counter, shirtless, wearing long Hawaiian print shorts and boating shoes. I took a deep breath and walked to the counter. "Good morning," I said. I used the same professional tone that I use with all customers, with all strangers. "Good morning," he said. His voice was as guarded and professional as mine. "We're ready to check out." I grabbed my clipboard and pen. "Lead the way." I followed him out to the Caribbean Song. I checked items off my list to make sure that no damage had been done to the boat during his rental, then went back into the marina office. I gave him his deposit back, wished him a safe trip home, and watched Daniel Ransom walk out of the marina. I breathed a sigh. The uncomfortable ordeal was over. I was sure this time that I would not see him again. In the weeks that followed, my life went on like normal, and I gave little thought to Daniel Ransom. I suppose I made an effort not to, remembering every time how I had shoved him into the lake. For a while, Cookie would ride up to the home with me to see Uncle Fawcett. But the point came when Cookie said she could not bear to see Uncle Fawcett like that anymore, and I ended up going by myself, giving him words of encouragement from her. The truth was that it was killing Cookie that our mommy and daddy were both gone, and now Uncle Fawcett, who was like a second father to us, couldn't even remember who she was. Then there was the fact that it was getting harder and harder for Cookie to get around. Her weight had gotten to the point that she could barely breathe walking from one end of the yard to the other. I even had a nightmare that she died and television crews came out and filmed while rescuers removed a wall from her house so they could get her body out. In my dream, Thomas Jeffrey was hugging the front of the minivan crying. Jetty was screaming for his mommy and Kaylee was texting on her cell phone while she blew her long straight bangs in annoyance, because I was trying to explain to her that her mother was dead. One night, I went over to Cookie's after supper. It so happened that Bob was in a good mood that night because he had gotten his hands on a gun magazine and I had fixed fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and banana pudding for supper. I found the kids in the living room, Jetty shooting little men with big heads on a computer game and Kaylee perched on a chair texting. Thomas Jeffrey was in the kitchen doing dishes. I went in there where he was and poured myself a cup of coffee. I noticed his face was red. I saw that the bedroom door was shut, so I knew that Cookie was having one of her fits. "What's wrong, Tom Jeffrey?" He never even looked up at me. "I'm worried about Cookie. Did you know she's actually at 460 pounds now? Did you know that, Cupcake? She can't breathe, and I'm afraid she's going to die. That the fat is going to smother her heart to death, and that some night it might stop beating in the middle of the night, and I'll wake up next to a dead woman. I love her, but she doesn't love herself, and I can't take it anymore. She won't even see a doctor." I put my hand on his arm. "I know, I worry about her too. Talk to her, Cupcake. I done tried. All she did was cry and lock herself up in that bedroom. She won't even play Monopoly. And you know how she loves that game." I nodded and set my coffee cup on the table. I went over to the bedroom door and knocked. "It's me, Cookie. Can I come in?" I heard the bedsprings creak and I knew she was getting up. I heard the floorboards groaning beneath her every step. She peeked out and saw that Thomas Jeffrey was not behind me. She let me in and locked the door. "My own husband hates the sight of me," she wailed. I shook my head. "Oh, Cookie, that man worships the ground you walk on. He loves you. He's scared to death of losing you. He thinks I'm fat and ugly. He's ashamed to be seen with me in public. That's why I don't go anywhere. I knew that wasn't true. She was the one who was ashamed, but like Mama, she couldn't stop overeating. You've got a good man, Cookie. He's not ashamed of you. He's right, you know. My weight's going to kill me like Mama's killed her. If she hadn't been so big, she could have gotten across the road in time. I bit my lip. Maybe she was right. But then I said, that might be so. Might not be, too. Could be that it was Mama's time to go. Daddy's gone, too, and it didn't have a thing in the world to do with weight. Lots of people get hit by trucks. Not all of them have weight problems. All of us are going to die sometime, Cookie. You, me, Tom, Jeff, the boys, Bob, Kaylee, all of us. We can't let the fear of dying stop us from living. Now, you've got yourself a sweet man. Love him every day while you can. He doesn't want you to lose all your weight all of a sudden. Good heavens, that'd be enough to give both of y'all a heart attack. But he does want you. No, he needs you to come out of this room and be his wife. Be the woman he loves. Watch a movie with him. Laugh with him. Play Monopoly with him. She nodded. I opened the door and Thomas Jeffrey came in. Cookie sobbed. I'm sorry, honey. He threw his arms around her. We'll get through this together, Sugar Pot. Just don't lock yourself up in there anymore. And see a doctor, please. All right, she said. I'll make an appointment tomorrow. After that, we went into the living room and watched a movie, but I paid little attention to the program. My mind was elsewhere, on the future. What would Cookie do when Uncle Fawcett died? As much as I hated to think it, I knew the time was getting closer every day.